In the first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelations, the chapter is 1 and the verse is number 11. God describes himself as Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This logically follows because all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So I would encourage you this morning, let him be your Alpha and your Omega. Let him be your beginning and your end. Let him be the first and the last for you, and you will be so glad, so glad. I said so glad that you did. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look at verse number 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to particularly notice verse number 58. I want to thank Brother Rutledge for a splendid job in leading the songs this morning. Thank Brother Spurgeon for an excellent reading of the scripture. Brother Wyatt for a powerful prayer. Brother Brandon Harris for the magnificent job he continues to do in the invocation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the verse is number 58. 1 Corinthians 15, the verse is number 58. And it reads, if you have it, say amen. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord," your labor is not in vain, brethren, "in the Lord." Using this text, I want to talk from the subject, "I know I can do better than this. I know I can do better than this." Jesus Christ is unique. That means, unique means one of a kind. He is unique in incarnation, for he is the God-man. He is unique in atonement because he and he alone died for the sins of the world. He is unique in resurrection, for he and he alone has conquered death. He won an absolute victory over death when he got up from the grave early one Sunday morning, never to die again. After his glorious, victorious resurrection, he stood on resurrection ground with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist. And he issued a global initiative because he is a global Lord. He told his church to go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples. Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of the nation, because I want to give people a new life." And when you're in Christ, you rise up from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The NIV has a very beautiful rendering of this text. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." You know, that's glorious because in Christ the old has gone and the new has come. And in Christ the theme of every child of God's life should be in every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. I am blessed. I'm being blessed. And I shall be blessed. You know, even in the Olympic Games, the Olympic motto is faster, higher, and stronger. And the Olympic Games can teach us something about living the Christian life. We ought to be moving in an arena of being faster, higher, and stronger. And Paul, that great and gifted apostle, he used the motto of the Olympic Games to teach us something about the Christian life. And it's interesting that we've just watched the Olympic game. We were just enthralled and amazed by Gabby Douglas. Oh, she just won our hearts. She was amazing and how she strived so mightily and so beautifully and won the gold medal and won the hearts of the world as well. Well, we were impressed by her striving so assiduously to win the gold medal, and all the world-class athletes are working so diligently. They go into strict training that they might win a gold medal, a medal. And here we are, Christians. We are Olympians too. And we are striving to not merely win a gold medal. We're striving to win a crown of life that will never fade away. And one way you can make sure that you win the gold medal is that you always abound in the work of the Lord. And the word abound means to be supplied in plentiful quantities. It means to be, and the word abounding means ever increasing. And so as a child of God, I'm to be ever increasing. I'm to be moving in a positive way in my Christian walk. And one way I can assure that I receive the crown of life is let the text of 1 Corinthians 15 speak to me and says, always, always, abounding, ever increasing. No, don't slack up, but step up. Is that all right? And it says to me, I can do better than I'm doing right now, because I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord, because I know that my work in God is not in vain. I'm not doing this. I'm not singing these songs for nothing. I ain't preaching for nothing. I ain't giving for nothing. I'm not serving God for nothing. My labor in the Lord is what? Not in vain. So I know I can do better than this. I want to talk about three things in this message. Number one, I want to talk about the examination. Amen. I want to talk about the examination. Number two, I want to talk about the affirmation. And number three, I want to talk about the implementation. Three things. The examination. Amen. The affirmation and the implementation. These are things we have to do to always abound in the work of the Lord. Now, to examine something means to look at carefully and closely to either understand it or to expose it. So when I'm examining something, I'm looking at it very carefully and very intently. And it's a good idea to examine yourself. Is that all right? Socrates or Aristotle, one of those great Grecian thinkers, said that the unexamined life is not worth living. I think there's a lot of truth in that. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, in the context of the Lord's Supper,
said, let a man examine himself. Before we take the cup and eat the bread, the Bible say it would be in order to examine ourselves. Because we don't want to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. That's what he's talking about. Taking the supper in an unworthy manner. And then in 2 Corinthians 13 about verse 5, the Bible says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, lest you are becoming reprobates. So it is in order to examine myself. I need to examine myself to know how I'm doing. I need to examine myself to know where I am. Examine myself to know how well I'm doing. I need to examine myself to know where I'm going. It's a good idea to examine myself, to know whether I'm getting better and better. Does that make sense, church? That's why the Arabian proverb talks about self-knowledge is important. And self-knowledge lets me know he who knows and knows he knows is wise. Follow him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Awake him. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. And he who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. Now when I examine myself, now whenever you examine yourself, the only thing that's going to help you is the truth. You see, you don't need to examine yourself and then tell yourself lies. Hello, church. If I'm going to examine myself, I need the truth and the truth only, because the truth shall set me free. Is that all right? And when I examine myself, it will reveal that there are challenges and obstacles that prevent me from doing better. Oh, yeah. And some of those challenges and obstacles are external. There are things outside of us in the world that prevent us from doing our best. And I got to understand what those things are. Amen. An examination of myself also revealed that there are challenges and obstacles that are internal. There are some things within me that will prevent me from doing my best or abounding, always ever increasing in the work of the Lord, and I must meet these challenges. So it's a good idea to examine yourself. And as you examine yourself, if I'm going to get better, I need hope that I can get better. Hello? Because if I don't believe that I can get better, I'm not even going to try. So I've got to believe that as I look at myself, look at the challenges, external, internal, I've got to have hope that I can get better, that I can do better. And you know, the Bible talks about a great triad or a great trio. It talks about faith, hope, and love, and how we all need faith, hope, and love in our lives. Can you say amen to that? We all need faith, we need hope, we need love. And of course, we know that love is the greatest of these things. We understand that. Love is the greatest of these things. But we all need faith, we need hope, and we need love. But today, I want to talk about, if I'm going to be ever increasing, I need something that's going to give me more hope. Because hope is an anchor of my soul. And hope, it is merely the ground of expectation. It's what I'm expecting. And so in Philippians 4:13, there is an affirmation. And this affirmation gives me hope. It says, Philippians 4:13, I can do. That's an affirmation. That's building my hope. I can. What can you do? I can do. I can do what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's an affirmation. And this affirmation does two things on two levels. It gives me a self-awareness that I'm in Christ. And it also gives me a self-projection. What I can do. In other words, I understand that I'm located in Christ. I'm connected to Christ by letting His word go deep down inside of me. It takes root in me. And I'm getting stronger because Christ is in me. Amen. I can. I'm operating in the love of Christ. I'm operating in the strength of Christ. I don't have to live this life by myself. I can't live it by myself. I need Jesus to live inside of me to help me to live this life. I can do better than this. Why? Because Christ is in my heart. Christ is in my soul. Christ is strengthening me. Christ is loving me. Go to Galatians 2:20, Brother Hillary. I'm operating and I'm moving in the love of Christ. I do this. You ever say that to yourself? I can do this. You ever say that? I can do this. I know. Well, how do you know you can do it? I can do it because Christ is in me. I can abound. I can do better than this. I'm at this point, but I'm going to get better and better. I'm ever increasing. What does Galatians 2:20 say, Brother Hillary? Read it.
I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But Christ lives in me.
Where?
In me.
Can you say that this morning, that Christ lives in you? Christ, that's why I can do it. I can overcome my enemy because Christ is in me. Hello? I can overcome a setback. Why? Because Christ is in me. I can get knocked down, but I can get up. Why? Because Christ is in me. The life that I now live, come on.
And the life which I now live.
And that's right now, how you're living right now. This is August the 25th, is that right? 26? 2012. The life that I'm now living, I live what, Brother Harry?
In the flesh.
I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Who loved me.
Do you feel like He loves you? Amen. I'm connected to the love Jesus. I'm moving in the strength of Jesus. His word is deep within me, taking root within me, and as a result of it, I'm getting better and better. I'm ever increasing because I know that my labor in Him is not in vain. The life I now live in the flesh, what?
I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Ariel Sharon of Israel made a powerful statement. He said that, he talked about the psychology of defeat. And he said, as Israel faced their enemies, he said, we try to inject within our enemies a psychology of defeat. And they said, what we did, we would beat them every time. And we would beat them so decisively that we wanted to create with them an inner belief that they could never win. never win. Napoleon Bonaparte, it is reported that Napoleon Bonaparte, the great genius, came to Waterloo. And at Waterloo, it said that Napoleon scribbled on the paper a note, but he wrote it very rapidly, hurriedly. And he sent the note to the general who was bringing in reinforcements, Brother Wyatt. And he said in the note, the battle is on. But Brother Milton, the general read, because the note was written so rapidly, the battle is won. And as a result, Phyllis, he was slow in getting the reinforcement in. And you know, Napoleon met his Waterloo. Yes, that was the decisive victory. So in Christ, listen, not only is the battle on, but in Christ, the battle is won. Oh, I wish I could. Is that? Because I can do. Now, the devil wants to inject in me a psychology of defeat, and that is, I can never do better. I can't. And if you feel like you can't do better, you're not even going to try. Is that right? But God wants to inject within me a psychology of victory and says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Is that all right? The Marines have a motto. It's an affirmation. Looking for a few good men. They say, fall down 7 times, get up 8. You've never stopped trying. You're always increasing. I can do better than this. I'm not walking with the psychology of defeat. I may have a setback. Things may not work out, but I'm in Christ. And I'm not going to let whatever life throws at me, I'm not going to let it defeat me. I'm not going to have the psychology of defeat, because I can do all things. I can live this life through Christ. I can go to heaven through Christ. I can whip the world through Christ. Is that all right? I can beat Satan back through Christ. Do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now here is, as I conclude, here's the implementation. Point number 3 is the implementation. I had to go out on my brother. The Bible talks about the problem of ignorance, the danger of it, the defeat of it. And the only solution to ignorance is knowledge. Somebody said knowledge is power. But I say knowledge is potential power that becomes actual power when you apply. Is that all right? So, man is a goal-striving being. Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician and philosopher, said that man is the thinking reed. Dr. Maxwell Maltz said that man is a goal-striving creature. You know, my life works better when I have a worthwhile goal that I'm striving toward. You got to have a goal in your life that you're moving toward. When you achieve that goal, you set some more goals and you keep striving toward those goals. Because I'm a goal-striving creature. Is that right? Get out this mic, devil. I'm an old striving creature. Amen. Now here's what George Hallis said, the great famed coach of the Chicago Bears. He said, nobody ever did their best and regretted it. Would you agree with that? Nobody ever did their best and regretted it. Les Brown put it this way. Les Brown says, you get better or you get beaten. You get better or you get beaten. Now that's the case in business. You get better or you get beaten. The competition is fierce. You don't just have competition in America. We got global competition. You can't stagnate. You can't hesitate. You can't isolate. You get better or you get beat. Now, let me throw this at you. Another wise thinker said, doing your best is better than being the best. Let that marinate for a minute. I want you to cogitate on that. Marinate on that. Now, I agree with that statement. Doing your best is better than being the best. Let me tell you why I think that's true. Because when you do your best, you don't have to worry about the results. When you know if you've done your best, that's all you can do. Is that right? And that's why he said that doing your best is better than being the best. And this was John Wooden who said he won about 10 national basketball championships. And he said what he taught his players was, don't worry so much about competing with somebody else. You compete with yourself. You be the best that you can be. And when you be the best that you can be, when you give maximum effort for being the best that you can be, don't worry about the result, because the results will take care of themselves. Amen. I'm a goal-striving being, and the Bible, the greatest book in the world, helps me to set worthwhile goals. Don't you need some goals in your life? Nothing wrong with having a goal. I'm going to save $10,000 this year. Nothing wrong with that goal. But just make sure you get the Lord his part. Hello, lights. Nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to become the fittest man in America. Nothing wrong with that goal. Nothing wrong with saying that I'm going to give my marriage a makeover and a tune-up. Lord, I feel like I'm in an ice box this morning. Ain't getting much help in here this morning. Is it that heavy, Lord? Amen. We need some worthwhile goal. The Bible helps me because my life works better when I'm moving toward a goal. Need a goal. The Bible gives us worthwhile goals. For example, seek first the kingdom. That's a goal. Put God first in your life. That's a goal. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things, what? Will be added unto you. Is that a goal? It's another goal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Isn't that a goal? Shouldn't I be doing that? I can do it if I'm always getting better. I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. Another goal is give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Isn't that a goal? Isn't that a worthwhile goal? And I said, I need some goals in my life. Now I'm setting the goal by this time next year, I'm going to be debt free. In 6 months, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to expand my mind. I'm just going to get better. And every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. Now, in conclusion today, let me share with you some things that we should strive to abound in.
You know, and Brother Hillary, run over to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Brother Spreading read that so beautifully. Look at verse number 7. You know, the Bible says always, if you notice the biblical text, it's always telling us to be ever increasing. The church never stagnates. Every member's life should be getting better and better, stronger and stronger, faster, higher, stronger. The Olympic motto, faster, higher, stronger, always increasing, always abounding. Where? In the work of God. Why? Because what you're doing ain't in vain. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8:7 says what? Read it. Therefore, as you abound, look at that. As you abound in what? Everything. I'm to be ever increasing in my faith. I'm to be ever increasing in my utterance. And I'm to be ever increasing in my Bible knowledge. And in all diligence. And I'm to be loving you all more and more, and that you'll be loving me back. Ever in increasing. I can do better than this. Read, Brother Hillary. See that you abound, look at it. See that you grow in the grace of giving. Learn how to give more. Because it is more to give. See that you are always getting better and better. And if you're always getting better, how can you fall away? I can do better than this. Right? I don't have to take this. I can do better than this. Read, Brother Hillary. See that you abound in this grace also. That verse 7. Now let me give you some things as I conclude. Let me give you some things that we should increase. And number one, always increase in taking responsibility for your life. That's number one. Same game and take responsibility for your life. And one thing successful people do, they take responsibility. They take responsibility. Michael Corder said that successful people take responsibility. And responsibility means that I am able to respond. Just break it down. Responsibility. I am able to respond. And that's what winners have in common. They take responsibility. An increase in my life when I take responsibility for me. Amen? I can always abound when I take responsibility for me. Here's number two. Always abound in your attitude. Always abound in your attitude. I can do all things through Christ. Attitude determines altitude. Is that right? I can always improve my attitude, can I? Can I always improve my attitude? Don't I have to take responsibility for my attitude? Is that right? Sort of like one day a rich man went to a church, walked in, the secretary, he said, I want to see the boss hog in charge. The secretary got real insulted. She said, ain't no boss hog here. He's the pastor. Don't be calling him that. Ma'am, I just wanted to donate about $10,000. She said, hold on, I see the big hog there. You have to work on your attitude. Is that right? And then here's another one. Here's a big one. Work on confessing your sins. If sin is in your life, cannot
improve. If unconfessed sin is in your life, you cannot grow. You can't. Sin is the enemy. Sin is the problem. Sin ruins people. Sin hurts people. Sin destroys people. Is that right? And I'm never going to abound if I got sin unconfessed standing in my life. You can't ignore sin. You got to deal with sin. Jesus doesn't save people. Jesus saves us from sin. He doesn't save us in sin. So if I'm ever going to be increasing, I got to take responsibility for my own sin. And the only way Jesus could get us out of the sin problem, he had to die on the cross, be buried, and rise again the third day. That was the only way he could get us out of the sin situation. And I cannot abound if there's sin unconfessed in my life. Amen. Have to deal with the sin issue. And then here's one more. I have to deal with my habits. Somebody said the chains of habit are too weak to until they are too strong to be broken. Another person said bad habits are easy to form but hard to live with. Good habits are hard to form but easy to live with. A bad habit is like a comfortable bed, easy to get into but hard to get out of. Chinese proverb said that habits are a cobweb at first and a cable at last. So some habits make me, some habits break me. Is that all right? I'm a creature of habit. Something I just do the same way over and over again. But thank God I can change habits. Is that all right? I can change habits. And I need to build into my life winning habits. If I want to abound, I got to have in my life some habit. I mean, if I want to have good health, I got to have some habits of exercising and eating right, getting proper rest. If I want to have finance, I got to be responsible with the prosperity that God blesses me with. Is that correct? About that. Amen. So I've got to that through Christ you can form winning habits. You see, you have to get in the habit of going to work every day. Get a job, you got to get in the habit of going. At first when you're going, it's not a habit. After a while, you wake up at a certain time, you do it. Is that correct? Because that's the way it works. So in conclusion today, I can do better than this. Amen. I examine myself, see where I am. If I affirm to myself, I can do it through Christ. If I set some worthwhile goals for my life and I have a determination that I'm going to get better and better at what I do. I may have a setback, but I'll turn a setback into a comeback through Jesus Christ. Is that all right? So I'm closing now, but let me tell you this. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, it's a wonderful text. Beautiful text. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It doesn't tell me about what I can't do, but it tells me about what I can do. Can do. Is that right? I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. Is that all right? I can renew my strength. I hear the voice of the prophet coming down through the centuries. And he's saying, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the earth, is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and weary, and the young men shall old about. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Is that all right? Renew my strength. Is that all right? I can mount it with a wing like an eagle. I can run, not be weary. I can walk and not faint. Is that all right? I believe I can fly this morning. Is that all right? I fly because some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Is that all right? To a home on God's celestial shore. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Is that all right? I know. I said, I know. I can do what? Through whom? Christ. I can do better. Is that all right? Say with me as I close, and every day, every way, I'm getting better and better. I am blessed. I'm being blessed. And I shall be blessed. Is that all right? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you on Facebook? But are you in the Lamb's book? You may be on Facebook, but you better be in the Lamb's book of life. Is that all right? Amen. Nothing wrong with being on Facebook, but it's Lamb's book. But Brother Mark, stand on your feet. How do I get in the Lamb's book? You get in the Lamb's book by hearing the gospel. In the Lamb's book by believing it. Get a thing. Have that mic, brother. Confessing for the remission of your sins. And that it begins with, I can do better. And let me tell you something, you can never do better unless God is blessing you. Maybe why things you want in your life you're not getting, because you don't want to deal with the sin in your life. You can't get better if you don't deal with sin. Is that right? You can't get better if you out there doing your thing and ignoring God. But I can do better when I give my life to Jesus. I can do better. In fact, if I confess my sin, that's my attempt to do better. If I'm asking for prayer, that's because I'm trying to do better. If I ask the church to pray for me for strength, I'm trying to do better. I make mistakes in life, don't you? But you don't just dwell there, do you? You get up and try to turn it around. Is that correct? And I leave you with this. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because as much as you know, your labor, what you're doing right now is not in vain. Ain't that good news? So you always abound, be ever increasing. Instead of you cutting back, add more to it. Hello? Don't do less, do more for the Lord. And you'll be so glad that you did. Here's an invitation. You can do better by accepting this invitation. Is there anybody today? Say, Brother Moss, you're right, the word is right, and I can do better. And I want to do better by, first of all, getting my relationship with the Lord right. I know I got to do that. Amen. And once I fix that, I can fix other stuff. But
because the Lord is most important. Amen. And then when you do, you can say, I'm glad I know you. Oh, I'm glad you know me. We praise our God. Oh, yeah. With what big. By the sin of your sins, you can't outsmart that.